I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, this is Reagan. I just did a full intro that was not recorded. Yep. Oh, thanks for that, Jessica. Well, welcome everyone. I am your host, Reagan, aka the man hater, even though I don't hate men. And this guy is...
My tongue is swollen.
No!
It's kind of, I want to put it out there. So if I sound like I'm slurring, I grind my teeth. Do you grind your teeth at all?
Yes.
And I was on, I went on a trip and I forgot I wore like a mouth guard at night because of, yeah. And I didn't bring it. And so now, and when I do it, my tongue gets, when I don't wear it, my tongue gets swollen. Cause I don't know why. Any dentists are watching, please let me know what the science be. But I did read that that's the cause of it. Cause I asked my doctor, I was like, should I be worried about my tongue?
Who are you? You can't even get through saying your own name without a medical tangent.
I am Mr. Pick Me with a swollen tongue.
Ew.
That's a very weird thing.
I don't like that.
I don't either. God, so many jokes I could make right now. And
no.
I've already been picked by someone that, never mind.
Don't.
Yes. Likes me as a person.
What?
She likes me as a person. I wasn't going anywhere. Weird. Freak.
You can't call me a freak. I'm being bullied. We're going to start this off with a medical tangent and a bullying.
That's the way our show goes. How did Chesco get canceled? Well, his tongue got swollen.
He also bullied Reagan, but no one cares about that.
He got really mean about it, though.
He called Reagan a freak.
It was weird. It was really off, out of character.
Called her a dumb lesbo.
This is who I really am. No, I did not.
I was going to say a different word, but I changed my mind.
As mean as I get to you, it is never like that kind of mean. It is Big Brother mean.
It's never about being gay. Yes. It's about everything else.
Ew, you like girls.
We have that in common. It's a common interest.
We do. It's one of our friendship interests.
What? What are you talking about?
So we do. We complain about our wives together. We smoke cigars. We complain about our wives.
First of all, we never complain about our wives. No, let's be clear. Why are they with us?
I feel like often it's us asking each other, like, oh, this. Guess what I did? I pissed on my wife today.
My wife me again.
And it was justified.
Yes. That's the best part is both of us will defend the wife. We're like, sounds like you did something wrong.
You did kind of like fuck up. Speaking of that, today we're going to talk about loyalty tests
in
relationships. And we have a new theme song. Hit it.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
So grab your popcorn, thank me later. Don't want to miss it.
friends, that is our new theme song by Tara Pfister and Sarah Spicer. They actually wrote my original F the Nice Guy theme song back in the day. And now we have them performing this song. Go check them out on their socials. They are two of the most talented artists I know.
If you want to see Reagan's complete and utter surprise, she had no idea that the theme song was coming. And our Patreon pre-show, I had Sarah come on and help me present the song to Reagan.
Sarah just joined the call. We're just doing our typical pre-show, and all of a sudden, the lovely Sarah is in a window next to me. I'm like, if I miss something, do we have a new co-host?
You didn't remember?
I'm thinking the whole time, like, oh my God, what have I forgotten? I've forgotten something. Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry. And neither of them, like, addressed the fact that that happened. So I was
we're just kind of, I really appreciated that Sarah let me sit in the awkwardness of the confusion for a little while.
I can't wait to edit that because I'm sure I look insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, you've failed the loyalty test because you've proven you can keep a secret from me.
I did. I've told you before, I'm really good at keeping positive secrets.
I had no idea. All I knew was you told me last week because we didn't record. You were like, oh, I have a gift. I was like, again, I really thought you made me something with a 3D printer, like a middle finger or something.
Hey, look, I got this for you.
I wouldn't have been surprised. But that was the best gift ever. So thank you to them. And then again, make sure to check them out because they are so talented. Okay.
They are fantastic.
Let's listen to someone who's not talented.
Okay.
Actually, I guess I don't know him, but I'm guessing I don't like him.
I've responded to both men in this clip before.
Oh, there's two of them.
There are. And there's only one really doing most of the talking, but you're going to recognize, I think you're going to recognize the second one if you don't recognize the first one.
I feel like I recognize the first one, but all these guys, I told you, what do they wear? Black tees with the slicked hair. And now he's got a suit jacket.
That also describes me a lot of the times. It's like, I think half my
different vibe, different black t-shirt vibe. Okay. Let's go.
I love the idea of men, if you're with a girl and you're confused, finding a guy or even a fake profile of a guy who's incredibly good looking, messaging your girl and see how far he can take it with her. And I know it comes off as insecure.
Nothing wrong with that. It's wise.
It seems pretty smart to me. People do it all the time. You see companies, they'll have other people come and make offers to try to steal away your employees. And you're just waiting to see, is your employee going to come to you or is your employee going to leave? If your employee's going to leave, he needs to leave anyway. That's good for you. I've always said this. Anytime a woman cheats on you, she's doing you a favor. If you leave, if you stay, she's not doing you a favor.
So the advice has moved on to catfishing your significant other.
To prove their loyalty.
To prove that they won't stray. Thoughts.
Dumb. I mean, on the one hand, I agree. If someone cheats on you, they're doing you a favor because you shouldn't be with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. That every once in a while, there's a morsel of truth in what they're saying.
But, like, can you imagine, like, and we both have said we're not cheaters, but so if you and I were in this situation, I would still be pissed. I'd be like, that's really fucking weird that you did that. Like, you purposefully used a fake profile, wasted time, like, to prove I was going to cheat. You can't just trust me that I'm not going to cheat. Like, it's almost like they want to be proven right. Like they want, see, I knew you cheat.
Well, I think it's like, if you ever get to that point in a relationship, just move, like save yourself the time and effort and just go.
Yeah. It's also like these guys have to relate it to business. I just can't get over it. It's just
because their girlfriends are their employees some of the time, right? I feel like that's the did they a little bit slip there right now?
Yeah,
they, kind of. View
I paid
their
to have you
girlfriends as you know. Yeah. There was. Do you remember that clip of Myron Gaines from Fresh and Fit, where he got called out on the fact that he
the sugar baby.
Yeah, that he dates from those things, and then he calls them gold diggers, and we're like, do you not understand what's
from
happening
from sugarbaby.com?
Yeah. Where it's like, do you think that makes you special, that you're, or that's weird? So I don't get it, man. I'm going to this website where women say, hey, we'll date you for money, and they just want me for my money, and then they cheat on me when I stop giving them money. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Myron, what do you bring to the table besides money? Quickly.
Right. Like I hired this employee to clean my house, And then I find out they're cleaning other houses when I wasn't paying them any money to clean my house anymore. It's weird.
When all you offer is money, when that is what you literally put at the forefront of who you are, what makes you interesting is you're a successful man. Mm-hmm. And then you're mad that they date you for, like, especially when he's going on these websites. That's a different story. Right. But it just, yeah, the idea of, like, you know, it's like your employees when you want to catch them for going to a different business. It's like, no, no, no. Your employees should not be your partner.
Right. And I think that's, it does come back down to, like, the, if you, the only thing you bring to the table is to your point, what you were saying, is something like very superficial like that, then, and like the only reason they're with you is because you have, I'll just use an arbitrary, you have $1,000. Obviously, that's not what it, but like that.
Oh,
like
my just, God.
I know. Although that is the reality for a lot of these guys pretending to be. Let's, like, I'm just using a number just to be easy. Then you can't be surprised if then they leave you for the person with $2,000. And then after that, where they leave you for the person with $3,000, they were honest about why they were with you from the get-go, because you had that money. Obviously, that was, I went way too low for the example, but the whole point was just showing, like, if you're only offering something, there's always going to be like something very superficial. Then there's always going to be someone that can offer more of that superficial thing.
Well, it's also so often that the men who accuse women of being gold diggers have no gold to dig. And so I think it's interesting how they'll look at women like, what can you give me right now? And I want the best of the best. But then they'll want women to date them for their potential.
Right.
Like, so often these guys are like, well, I'm going to make a ton of money. Like, I know right now you're having to do all of the work at home and you're having to do all this and that. And, you know, I'm working all these crazy hours and I'm not bringing home a ton of money. But in the future, in the future, I'm going to be rich. It's like, do you go with her in the future? She's going to be attractive, because that's usually what they're looking for. It's like, no. I just – it's weird the ways – like the ways they view relationships, and like I we're getting a little bit off of the main video, but I definitely agree with you of the, like, if you're to the point that you feel desperately you need to test her loyalty, if you are so insecure that you think, okay, she's going to cheat, then you've got a bigger problem. Like, then you shouldn't be in the relationship. Like, if you're willing to catfish your own girlfriend, either you have a reason or you don't. And both of them probably mean that you shouldn't be with her.
There's all sorts of these kind of different, like, tests that they always say, you got to do this and you got to do X and you got to. But I want to know, because if I hadn't seen these guys, and I know that they make like a ton of money from selling courses to men, and I know that they make these, like, they have, I know, shocker, right? But if I hadn't known who these guys were ahead of time, I would have had to think this was a parody.
Right.
Right? Like, it's absurd that this is real advice that they are giving out on a giant platform to hundreds of thousands of men that are seeing it, as, and to not be embarrassed by that, that's the advice you're giving.
Right.
I don't, because it's so, there's so, there's a lot of advice where there is like a hint of like a morsel of like, I see, okay, I see what you're trying to say right here.
Right.
But you just went down a really dark path with it. This is just dumb. Like, this is fucking weird. It's so weird.
Well, yeah, I don't, this is not going to go favorably for you. Like, either she is going to cheat, which is terrible and you shouldn't be with her, or she's going to then say, yeah, I didn't cheat, but you've been lying to me. You've been talking to me this whole time. You pretended to be this guy. Like, why? Like, what? Like, I think it's wild how often the advice is to be like an unhinged, manipulative liar. Like, that's the advice for these men.
As if she's going to hear that and be like, wow, you care about me that much that you
pretended
were willing
to be Dave?
All of that trouble? Wow, of this man that was much better looking and more successful than you?
Right.
Right? Like, it's, oh, God. Have some self-confidence, guys. Also, like, you know, believe in yourself. Like, maybe, believe that you are a good person, worthy of this person. I think that's really what it comes down to. A lot of it is this, like, because they even say that was, I made a short video response to this. But the guy responds, he was like, I know it sounds insecure. And he's like, that's not insecure. That's just smart. That's smart business. Right. It's like, you can't have another insecure guy telling you that's not insecure. That's the two insecure guys.
No, totally.
The example I said was like, if it's nighttime and I hear a loud noise, I'm not going to go to my 5-year-old and be like, do you think that was a ghost? And expect her to be like, no, father, that was probably just a noise from blah, blah, blah. Like, she's going to be like, it's a ghost. Right? That's not who I go to to check me on if my opinion on something is bad, right? I'm going to find someone that is very secure in themselves. It just really frustrated. I mentioned that I was at a keynote at a conference for young men. I led a workshop with a small number of them. We watched some of these guys.
Oh my God.
And they were giggling, and it actually made me feel really, their response was like, oh, thank God. Because they were like, I chose videos that were viral, that were all ones that had gone, I had like hundreds of thousands of views.
Sure.
And I had like comment sections full of guys that were like, yes, thank you for saying what needs to be said, all this kind of stuff. I made sure to choose ones that were like representative and not just, because sometimes I'll respond to ones that are just like so weird because I think they're funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I chose one specifically, and they were laughing. And they're like, one of them was like, is this guy, the one of my shows is a guy that had like a million followers for giving this kind of advice. I was like, this guy has a million followers on YouTube. And they were like, they were shocked by it. Like,
right.
Men are listening to this. I was like, all right, they gave me a little bit of hope that even they saw how absurd it is. But I could see, you know, like there's a lot of guys that don't have that, you know, that internal, I guess, a gauge about whether something doesn't make any sense. If you don't have any experience, if you get like in that rabbit hole of all these guys giving the same advice, you're like, well, that's enough guys saying this. Maybe I'm wrong. Right. It seems weird to me, but this guy has a good looking girlfriend in the car with him. So clearly
that's not a paid model.
That's not a paid model. Or a rental car, and not like that has to be, clearly I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the lonely one. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's really sad to think of how many of these men are like single and don't get with women at all ever, who are then profiting off of teaching other men how to do it. But it's like the whole business model only works if you keep coming back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how good is the advice? Like, is there anybody that's ever seen these dating coaches and walks away like, that was worth the money I put into it?
Right. I'm sure it's probably someone that like was rich, you know what I mean? And went in there, he was like, oh, I can use my money to like possibly get someone that wants me for my money.
Oh, so
they had like, I feel like there's got to be some sort of case, like, and you know, you throw a dart 100 times, chances are one of them's going to score. You know, is going to get. That's a really terrible analogy, but my point is like, you shoot your shot enough times, maybe you'll find someone that's like, oh yeah, I like you.
That was helpful.
You know what I mean? And it's that. I think that actually proves the stuff that I say online and you say online is that taste is subjective, right? That attraction is subjective. That there isn't just single. I was wondering, sorry, I want to go on a little tangent here. Do you notice how many of these guys will say, instead of women, they say woman? They say the singular woman. If you watch these videos, it happens a lot where they'll be like, no, so I was talking to a woman and when they blah, 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 and they, it happens, it's, you're going to notice it now that you know. Once I noticed it, it was like, I was like, I'm seeing it. And I think it's because it's like this, them accidentally showing that they do view women as women.
Singular.
Right? As singular. Like there's this entity of this omniscient woman, like the entity of it. Because they're not viewing them as people, though. They're viewing specifically as the object of woman. And this is what they all like. Sorry, that was kind of, but I think that's their mentality when they do these sort of things is because, oh, well, this worked for me this one time. So clearly, it's going to work for all women. For the, it's the same thing as like, yeah, there are some women that love these big jacked up, like super steroid looking dudes at the gym. That exists. I never said no woman wants that, but it's the same guys that would be like, no woman wants a dad bod. No woman likes an overweight guy. No woman wants a short king. No woman wants any of those things. The reality is there are overweight men, short men, overweight short men, poor men, rich men, and across the spectrum.
Sounds like a good song.
Poor men, rich men, overweight men. that are in long-term healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's almost like, right, once again, it's such a broken record, but I think it needs to keep on being repeated, that people are individuals, that they have individual tastes, that women are not a monolith, that men are not a monolith.
How do these guys, like, feel after that? After they give this shit advice to middle-aged men to each other? Like, when they click off the mic, so they're just like, yeah, I'm proud of that. Like,
There's got to be a little bit of, like, sociopathy, being a sociopath to an aspect of it. Because I know I've been contacted. I don't know. I'm sure maybe you have. But, like, from people that know these guys that I respond to in real life, on more than one occasion, I had one guy's sister give me stuff. And I was like, I couldn't – the stuff she told me, she was like, I want to share this with you, but I don't want you to, like – out me, but it was basically her way of saying, like, you were fucking spot on with what you're saying. But he, it was one of these guys that he doesn't treat his wife like that at all, right? He's this most, like, he's a very, like, he respects her decision. They budget together, that she's full-time. Like, he's one of those guys that talks about she should be at home and blah, blah, blah. She works full-time, has a business. It was this whole, she was, like, giving me all this information, and, like, it was all so specific that I couldn't, like,
yeah, and sure.
I didn't want to, like, I wanted to respect that she asked me not to share it. But, like, it was, a lot of these guys don't believe what they're saying, but they don't give a fuck, because they're like, well, this is my job. They're able to separate it. It's like, no, I'm making money.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I would love to see the after these podcasts just to see what they're actually like. Because, you know, Myron Gaines, he doesn't live by what he says. He's single. Right. And he dates – he literally – they date, like, OnlyFans. They've gotten women pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, and they say you shouldn't – like, women shouldn't sleep with anybody. They say they want chaste women who, you know, cover up and whatever else. It's like, you don't live by your own, like, advice. This is not real.
Yeah, they don't actually believe anything that they're saying in those. And you're right. Even by what you're saying, like, when they're at the club, they're not going after the quiet woman in the corner that's sipping a drink. They're
reading a Bible.
It's doing that, because that's not where they're looking for women. They're going to a lot of them, like a Miami club or a New York nightclub, like these specific big city nightclubs, looking for a very specific type of woman.
Did you see the videos of, like, Myron Gaines and all them, Nick Fuentes, like, in the club?
The incel superhero, the incel Avengers.
So embarrassing. Embarrassing. And then, like, they're all acting quite, like, they're very racist and they're all not white. And you're like, what is happening?
What is going on? Yeah, it is very weird.
It was literally like it felt like. Like popular, like rich parents whose kids don't know they're like not cool because everyone's paid to say they're cool out on the night out. We're like, yeah, look how cool we are. And you're just like, they're not talking to anybody. Like, they're not interacting with women. They're just interacting with themselves. And you're like, Yeah, this is the reality that you don't look cool in your little party bus. You're like 40.
Nick Fuentes is like one of the worst human beings like on the internet.
Oh, yeah. You know, so he's also never had sex before for all he talks.
He was saying that having sex is gay. Did you ever see that, the clip of his? I want to make sure. Hold on. Let me Google this to make sure. I'm almost positive that he said that having sex with a woman is gay.
Is gay?
Is gay. Hold on.
Is this like a riddle? Because I don't understand.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I can't find the clip, but yeah. Having sex with women is gay. Here it is. I can send it to you later. We don't need to watch the whole clip, but he makes some weird argument saying that having sex with women is gay. And it's not satire.
He also isn't straight, I don't think. I think there's been a point where he was being interviewed by Piers Morgan.
Yeah, I think he hooked up with that guy Destiny, didn't he? Wasn't that a thing?
That was a rumor. We can't confirm or deny that.
Okay, not confirm or deny. That was a rumor on the internet, unconfirmed or confirmed. I don't know. Somebody can tell us in the comments.
Like these men are so full of shit. They don't lead the lives they pretend to. And like, it's all just theater. Like, it's so bizarre to watch. Mm-hmm. And like, I know that that's the reality of a lot of influencers. They don't leave. I mean, that Ballerina Farms chick just got outed for not being real and also poisoning people with milk, unpasteurized milk, raw milk, as it were.
The trick to drink unpasteurized milk is to cook it at a high temperature for a little while. Then it ends up being okay.
Then throw it away. Never drink it again. Yeah, it's just like, I guess at what point do we like get them for false advertising? Because like, I feel like you should be able to get some of them on that. Like these men who give this dating advice and have people pay them thousands of dollars for bullshit.
I'd say honestly, one of the major issues with social media, and this goes across, not just with dating advice, but like with everything, we elevate these people that have zero training, zero background, zero education on these things, but they made some viral videos with that. Maybe they had a good opinion about something once, or they had something that resonated with some people, and then they end up getting these millions of followers, and then they end up like being looked to as the voices for these different things, and then you end up people following it because like people respond to prestige, right? They're like, oh, well, because they just assume, oh, well, you wouldn't have gotten that big if you didn't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And across the board, it's just like you see this in wellness, right? These health influencers and things all the time that have zero, they have no fucking clue what they're talking about. And it's even smart people do it all the time. Like, I've talked shit about Galloway all the time.
Yeah.
Scott Galloway, he's a very smart individual. Like, my critiques of him have never been that he's smart, that he's not smart. It's that he's doing the exact same thing Jordan Peterson does, where he ends up being the voice about things that's not his background. If Scott wanted to just talk about marketing online, I'd be like, fuck yeah, man. You know what you're talking about. You clearly know how to market yourself as something that you don't know, haven't done the research on. Right. Mm-hmm. But then you see people, and it's on the left and the right. It's much more prevalent, I think, on the right, but it happens across the political spectrum, where you just have these people that are looked at as these figureheads and these voices of these different issues that when you actually press them just a little bit, you realize they have no idea what the fuck they're saying. Like, and it's in order to become big in these spaces, you have to be willing to speak confidently about stuff without fact checking. And that's one of the reasons I hate doing live content. One of the reasons I'm okay with doing it with you is because we pause all the time and Google stuff.
Look it up.
Yeah. Like when I'm speaking about stuff, I'm like, I know a lot, but I know enough that I know that I'm not 100% on something. So I'll spend time researching it. There was a video that I just made the other day of this guy was like quoting Lacan
about that. Yeah.
And I hadn't read Lacan in literally 20 years. But I knew and I remembered enough that I was like, I don't remember that.
That's not right.
That is not something. And I'm like, I spent an hour or so researching and reading, and I was like, okay, I see what he's okay. Now I know what he's talking about, and then being like, then putting together a script to talk about it. But like, if I was on a podcast, and that fucker was like, or somebody like him was like, well, you know, Lacanian psychology says that blah 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 blah, I'd be like, okay. I don't know how to respond to that in that moment. I was like, I don't think that's right, but I'm not willing to be like, absolutely not, you're wrong, blah, 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 blah.
That's the crazy part. Myself. Because it's like, they are so willing to speak without mm-hmm. knowing if they're right or wrong or caring if they're right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And the people who are probably right actually care if they're right. So they don't mm-hmm. just refuse to just say things without double checking. Right. So they go unchecked all the time.
Right.
It was really interesting. Did you see Pearl's debate with, do you know that woman's, the other woman's
Anna
name?
Kasparian.
Okay. Yeah. Because she would just say something crazy. Like mm-hmm. Pearl would just say a stat that just like right. isn't true. And what's her, Anna, what's her name?
Anna Kasparian. I used to love her until she got like super transphobic.
She's shitty. Transphobic?
Yeah. Like her
Ew!
And the whole Young Turks got got like real, like there was even one of their former trans employees came out and like made a whole expose on YouTube about how shitty they are. It got really weird. For a while, because like they are the left, but they got because he also Cenk ran for office in my district, uh-huh. And for Congress, and it was like, and he just everyone hated him, and he was like saying all this shit, and then we were like, we don't like
that,
like, and it was very clear, like it was like you know, in Hamilton where Burr is like, you know, you stand for nothing, you just kind of like go where. Whatever, and that's exactly what he was doing. And that's what they started kind of shifting to this weird centrist thing. And now they're going back to the left. But I'm like, you said what you said. And she was very explicitly saying some really transphobic shit that pissed me off.
So so focusing on the message and not
focusing
the messenger.
On what she said. You're right. But that's why it upsets me, though, because she does have – she's very intelligent, and she says some really smart things on stuff that I agree with a lot. And it pisses me off then that someone like that could then also say this super uneducated, hateful shit that –
educated in a different area.
And then people buy into it. You're like, oh, well, she must know what she's talking about because
that's awful.
Yeah.
But
that was my little rant.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you told me because I don't mm-hmm. know her. But mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some of her stuff, but I like the way that Pearl would just throw out a stat, and because mm-hmm. it was live, she'd mm-hmm. go, that's not accurate. Where did you get that? Like, what is that from? And Pearl's like, and then after she said she wanted to hit her mm-hmm. physically, mm-hmm. you're like, Jesus Christ, Pearl. Yeah. I mean, no surprise that she said that. But it's just interesting because it's like they're so used to going unchecked mm-hmm. that like they freeze up when you do. And you can see it with the mm-hmm. even the podcast. I just saw someone called out Myron on some podcast. I don't know what – it wasn't his. It was a different one. He was mm-hmm. just like, yeah, you're full of shit, man. You're not mm-hmm. telling the truth. You don't live the life you say you do. It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. And he just was like – because it's like they're so used to spewing their own hate and their own silos mm-hmm. that you call them out and they're just like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, that's the real you. This is the real you.
There was another debate online about something that the subject was unimportant, but it was – you could clearly – the guy was like called him out on it. He was like, that's mm-hmm. not true. And he was like, well, I've seen multiple people on Instagram that have blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, the conversation's over at that point, right? It's like that means nothing. That's why we go by data, right? That's why we go by there was that guy that was on Surrounded on Jubilee. I almost unblocked Jubilee to watch it because I wanted to see that because it looks like he owned – he was surrounded by MAGA.
Yeah.
This one part, he was like, well, gas prices are down only 5 cents in the last year. And she was like, no, if you look, you can see pictures of people posting in all these red states where it's – he was like, okay, that's – those pictures are
great. We don't go off of pictures.
We go by averages. And you could tell she didn't comprehend what he was saying. He was like, she was like, well, blue states are more expensive, so you can't look at it. You have to look up at the reds. He was like, were those blue states included a year ago in the average?
Right.
Yeah. So now we look at the average again because those blue states would still then be included. You don't look at random anecdotes from a gas station in Podunk or wherever as an example of the average price across everything.
I feel like ignorance has been mm-hmm. really promoted, and like people are so confidently ignorant now. Like they love going on there and be like, facts are dumb and science is mm-hmm. flawed and blah, blah, blah. And they'll just go and say some of the most ridiculous things and feel so entitled. Like I feel like a lot of people, like there is a pendulum swing from mm-hmm. when we were really focused on like science and like intellectualism and things, you know, mm-hmm. studies. I feel like there was some people who maybe felt like they were seen as less than or dumb or whatever they perceived of themselves due to the culture, that like now they're like, no, you're all idiots and we're the smart ones. And they'll say things that I'm like, that's just face value incorrect. Like that is easily, like what you're saying is so easily just proven. Like I can pull up a million studies right now. Like it would be simple. Like I can tell you just off of what you've said, that's incorrect. Like just just common sense, that doesn't make any sense.
And stuff that's scientific consensus.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, there was another analogy I saw someone say once where they're like, well, why are 3%, you know, you said 97% of people will believe in climate change, but like, what about those other, what if those other 3% are right? And he was like, I want to ask you something. If you were about to go over a bridge with your car and there were 100 structural engineers there and 97 of them said that bridge is going to collapse if you drive on it, but three of them were like, it's great. What are you going to do? Which one are you going to do? Are you going to drive across that bridge? No, no rational human being would go against the 97 experts in that field telling you that that bridge is going to fall.
Yeah.
But that's what we have. We have this big group of people listening to that. The 3%.
Yeah. I mean, I've never understood, like, there's such an arrogance and an enjoyment from some people thinking like, you're just sheep. You don't know what, don't know the real truth. You don't know what's really going on. I just don't understand that. Like, I don't understand what you get from that. Cause like they'll hold on to that. Regardless of, regardless of facts or, you know, data, anything, they will keep holding on. And it's just like, oh, you're just so easily swayed. You're just a part of the propaganda machine. And it's like, what do you get out of this? Like, it's got to be an ego thing because, like, you're not willing. It's a closed loop.
It's a fear response. They don't like it. They're like, no, we're not. You can't live in fear. No. But denying reality is that's the definition of living in fear, right? Like, you look at like anti-vax sentiments, right? Like all those kind of things. Like we're masking during COVID, where it was like, all right, well, as long as I don't believe it, I can't be scared of it.
Yeah.
Right. If I deny the reality, if I deny that people are dying, if I deny that I need this thing, if I deny all these other things are helping, if I can live in my blissful ignorance of like, well, nobody in my immediate friend group is hurting right now, then I'm fine. I can be safe, right? Because it's scary to have to acknowledge there are big things we can't control. It is scary that climate change is happening. It is scary that there are diseases that we can't stop with our own body that are out there. It is scary, all these things that exist in the world. It's scary. And if we acknowledge that there are experts agreeing that these things are harmful and scary, then we have to live in the world where those things are real and can hurt us. Right. And they'll claim it. Oh, but that's you living in fear. No. It is much less fear. There's acknowledging a problem exists is the opposite of being fearful. That's just living in reality.
Right? Well, it's astonishing to me when that goes to the end of like, the arrogance I was talking about. Cause I remember back when I was like spiritual for a while and then COVID was happening. And then I was like, because they were saying crazy stuff.
Right.
I remember when somebody showed me a Reiki symbol that someone else had made and said that would stop the microchips. And I was like, I have to go. I have to get out of here.
This was fun.
I can only go so fucking far with you. Because if you, this is how my brain works. I'm like, okay, say you're saying there's microchips, which where do we even go from there? But it's like now you're saying a piece of paper with a symbol that somebody just drew is going to take the microchip out? No. I can follow this logic pretty far, but that's – so I was like, no. But I remember we – this was just when things were opening back up and I went to a meditation – not just when they opened back up, but once it was safe.
Right.
And the woman who ran it, I remember – was saying how, well, you just need to vibrate higher. People who vibrate high enough can't get COVID. And there was people whose family members had died. And she said that to them. And they were like, one of them, her father had died from COVID. And it was like, it's bad enough to deny like COVID and like deny mm-hmm. what's going on. But they take it so far to the point where right. it's like, I'm actually better than you. Right. Like, I'm not sick because I'm better than you. I don't mm-hmm. need a mask because I'm better than you.
Right.
Like, it's not enough to just say I don't care.
You get survivor's bias, too. Like, what worked yeah. for me? Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, I had a family member that died, though, so.
Well, because then the message, mm-hmm. like, she proudly said that, mm-hmm. and she stood by it. And I was like, I got to go. Right. I got to get out of here. Right. But it's just this idea of, like, there's such a superiority to their beliefs. Like, mm-hmm. I believe things, but it's never like I'm so much smarter. Like, mm-hmm. it's like
sometimes it's valid to say that.
But I just mean like,
no, I know.
People, if I have knowledge, like I want people to yeah. know it. Like I, right. if I've figured something out or I figure something's right. wrong, I want other people to join me in understanding that. And mm-hmm. it's not that. It's like, mm-hmm. I want to feel superior. It's a completely different mindset that I do not understand. Like, I want to be better than somebody else. You mm-hmm. could say it's the same with these fucking, like, alpha men bros. It's like, mm-hmm. I just need, like, it's like, it's not really that they ever want everybody to understand because their superiority mm-hmm. would be taken. Right. Like, if everybody was strong and fit, mm-hmm. there is no alpha.
Right.
Right? You know? If everybody's good at dating, there is no dating coach. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if everybody is not getting, like the COVID thing, like you're too like enlightened for COVID. Also, same mm-hmm. person I saw posted that they had a fever and they went to it had all the symptoms of COVID mm-hmm. and they went to the salt water when you get in, do you ever talk, float. To like a okay. float uh-huh. place uh-huh. with whatever they had yeah. and said they just needed to a cleanse or a purge or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, it sounds like you had COVID and you just went to a public place where you laid in right. water
the other
and
people,
probably got your germs everywhere.
And they don't change that water in those places too.
So yeah, it's like
someone told me that before. You like, if you ever do a float, go in the morning. Because apparently a lot of them don't change it because it's like highly saline. Like it's no,
salty.
There's no, yeah. So it's theoretically it's,
safe.
It's safe, but
I don't want to be in a tomb anyways.
Yeah, I know.
So, but it's just I'm really baffled by this like need for superiority, mm-hmm. especially from people who are so fucking wrong.
Well, it's here another great example of it. I deal with people all the time when I recommend going to community college and getting a mm-hmm. you know getting a degree, and when I say going to college, I also include going to trade school, doing something sure. to you know I'm talking about you should get for higher education beyond
yeah.
That and the reason is because statistically speaking, if you go up there, you're going to make substantially more money in your life. It's not even like a small little bit. It's substantially. And they'll be like, well, I got a degree and I make less than my cousin that only has a high school diploma. I was like, those are two examples. Those are two data points. Now let's get a million data points, which we have access to.
Yeah.
And let's look at those because it's not a guarantee. And that people don't like, and it's literally, you see it in so many facets with vaccines. So it's guaranteed I'm safe if I do this? No.
Right.
It's not. You're doing things to increase your chances
yeah.
of a better life.
Right.
I'm doing this choice because it's more likely.
Right.
They're like, my grandmother smoked till she was every day of her life and she lived to be 104. Yes. But
cool story,
smoking.
Bro.
Yeah, that's a great data point. Now right. let's look at everybody else that smoked every day and how long they lived.
I really miss the days when people felt bad for saying stuff like that. Like we're in a point where people mm-hmm. are so emboldened to say mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like I just the hateful rhetoric and the intolerance and the ignorance that's spewed now so confidently, like for mm-hmm. those Jubilees or any of those ones where they're like, you mm-hmm. know, a bunch of people talking right. about, you know,
right.
Like I saw, yeah, you just see these people coming up and just like, completely misrepresenting data, like, again, mm-hmm. saying, like, anecdotal information is evidence, mm-hmm. and just being like, no, so this is what you're going to say. I'm not going to be fooled by Big Pharma, blah, blah, blah. And it's mm-hmm. like, I understand where they're coming from in the sense of, like, there is corruption and Big Pharma right. is a nightmare, and, like,
right.
there's so much that's true, but, like, the attitude and the mm-hmm. being so sure of themselves while speaking so incorrectly. It's like, mm-hmm. I can't stand what I'm seeing. It's like, what is that?
Mm-hmm. It's I remember there was another one of those Eat Real Food commercials. You see there in Super Bowl.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl. Sorry,
It was right after the halftime show. I didn't watch the game itself.
Oh, I did watch that, but I was like, yes.
So like it was like I was on such a high from that amazing show. Like from Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny.
But it was like it was like the first or second commercial after when the TV was still on, and it was like just the worst. Like I was like my mood shifted so bad. It was like. All processed food is bad, and this is why all of our kids are fat. It was like all of this like stuff.
Didn't write guys into it? He's like, I was a fat pig or something.
Yeah, like, yeah. No. It was something. I was like, fuck. This is like,
what the hell?
If I agree with you, which I don't, like your packaging of this is really offensive. It's that kind of thing where it's like this. It's a simple answer for a much more complex issue.
Right.
That goes for dating, that goes for science, that goes for the environment, that goes for health, that goes for everything. All these issues have nuance. All of these issues have levels of things that you should be doing, none of which are guaranteeing you things, but the fearful way of reacting to these things, the impulsive thing, is looking for that simple answer because that's comforting.
Right.
So, all I have to do is cut out this and that's going to make my life better. Sweet. I thought I was going to have to worry about it still. No, I want that thing that I don't have to worry about anymore.
Yeah. It never takes into account like different bodies, differently abled people or like, you know, when you talk about processed foods, it's like, cool. Why do we have food deserts then? What about those people? Like, okay. So the people who have no access to fresh food, now you're saying, well, just don't have processed food. It's like, you're missing so many of the issues at hand. Like, it like rarely takes into account privilege and like societal issues and classes. Like, there's so many problems. There's like, well, it's just this. Mm-hmm. Just stop also, eating like, so much.
You're most like, of the food they're eating is also processed. They're just,
oh
they're
my using, God. Yeah, right.
It's like almost all of our food is processed food.
Yeah,
like,
almost all of it.
People realize what they're talking about. When they say that, they're referring to a very specific type of processed food.
Right.
But they use the term, all processed food is bad. Like, all GMOs are bad. All processed food is bad. All everything. Well, they're actively eating those things and recommending to eat processed food.
Right.
And other GMO food. Like, they get that without realizing, or maybe they do realize, they just don't care, that it is the very thing that they would recommend is actually technically the exact thing they're saying is the worst thing in the world.
Also, those ads have never worked.
Right.
Those, like, they did studies on the, what was the anti-smoking campaign where the guy had the glasses? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember which one.
Oh, come on. Yeah. They just, it was like this really snarky guy was just like, and it was like really, it was just like grotesque things and like, think about it. Or like, hold on, don't, do you know what I'm talking about? Hold on. Yeah. I got to find it.
I know while you're looking that up, I remember the anti-drug campaigns of like the 80s and 90s are widely considered the worst, like the least successful ad campaigns of all time, considering the amount of money that went in. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Yes.
Or the, I learned it from watching you, Dad. All we did was make fun of those growing up. I remember they had ribbons at my school that was the choice for me is drug free. And all of us wrote an S at the end of drug and put 4. So the choice for me is drugs for free. And I didn't even know what I was saying, but all of us were wearing ribbons saying the choice for me is drugs for free. As like middle schoolers, because there was zero impact on us watching those ads. I was like, okay. And this is me coming from someone who had an addict for a father.
Right.
I should be laughing at that, but like I was literally exposed to it. And those commercials, I should have been the target audience, right? Of someone that was at risk that for falling down that path. And I was still like, this is the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the ones, I can't think of the campaign name, but they forced tobacco companies to do the campaign and they picked like the snarkiest guy to do it. And then, wouldn't you know, it made more people smoked because they're like, F you, guy. Yeah. I don't know you.
Don't you tell me what to do.
Don't you tell me what to do. It's just like, I really do miss the times where like being educated in a topic mattered. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even mean, I'm not even saying like, you had to go to college. There
right, you have to be
plenty
a
of people who have inexperience, like especially if you look at like human rights, there's so many people who can speak articulately and eloquently and with so much life experience about these issues that one could never learn in the classroom. So I don't mean it like that, but I just mean like I miss when people like understood what they were talking about and like when people had shame for saying things that were incorrect. I feel like people, like I said, I think it's people are really emboldened to be ignorant right now and like get off on it. And it's really sad to see. And I really hope we swing back in the other direction.
I don't know. I hope so. I think the issue is a lot. There's a lot of stuff that is true that doesn't feel true. You know what I mean? And people are much more concerned often with what feels right versus the actual what is right. Like anytime I make, you know, my background is in communication, right? That's what my research background is. And I remember when I made a video about vocal fry and about Upspeak and the and the history about why it's actually a internalized misogyny is why we hate it and where what goes into it and all the research and data on this is something that I've devoted my career, one of the major emphases that I focused my research on, and I posted it and everyone's like, no, that's not it. I'm like, is this what mansplaining feels like? Is this what it feels like?
Yes.
Like when I see, like anytime when a female engineer or scientist says something online and then Hank Green gets tagged, I love that, by the way. But it's always like, I don't know, Hank, is this true? Is this right?
I've had people do that in my videos. Like, so and so, make a video on this. I'm like,
I literally just made a video on this.
It's so rude. Yeah. Oh God! Yeah,
I know how shitty that feels. Yeah, and it's oftentimes because like no one wants to be find out. Like I think people think that if you do something wrong or if you're doing something wrong, that it means you're inherently a bad person, right?
Yes.
But the reality is, it's what makes you a bad person is if you find out something you're doing is harmful, and then you keep doing that thing. I think that's the key difference for me, and what makes you one.
It's interesting. My friend Jamila Bradley, they make a lot of content, a lot of feminist content, a lot of like anti-racist content. But they talk about the fact that white women in particular, white people, but a lot of white women, are very obsessed with like being good. No, but I'm good. No, I'm a good person. And I feel like that's a huge problem right now is like with the Epstein files. We're not going to get into that because it's very triggering for people. Right. But you look at things like that, you know, a lot of people believed that stuff was going on. But now they don't like who did it because they're like, oh God, I'm a bad person because I support, like they cannot reconcile who they are with what they've supported and how it makes them feel about themselves. And I saw that a lot with Trump and like, especially early on when I would try and talk to people about like, why are you supporting him? I don't understand. Like, you know, before all of those people were cut out of my life, but it was like a lot of what they said was like very defensive as to who they are as people. Well, everyone's trying to act like we're bad people. And it was in that when I recognized, okay, you're so obsessed with the title of good and the perception of good that you're not actually making good choices. But it's like, I'm not a bad person. It's like, okay, it's not, that's very self-focused. Like, well, these horrible things are happening if you're taking, but I'm not bad. It's like, okay, but look at your choices. Look at what they've done. Let's make good choices from here. But it's like they're so obsessed with this idea of good. Like people have done terrible things in order to maintain their public perception of being good. People have done terrible things. I mean, and white women to people of color specifically and white men to people of color, like have done atrocities in order to maintain being perceived as good by the general public. And it's like, yeah, that's not actually good, though. And, like, if you're more focused on your own identity of being a good person, like, to others rather than actually doing good deeds, then you've got a problem. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot is people cannot accept. Like, the dissonance is too big now between who they think of themselves as and what they have facilitated.
And they've gone so deep into doubling down on it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Where and it's hard then at that point then because – I think the dissonance I even have is like I understand why we need to, like, if someone says finally, if this is the thing that awakens somebody where they're like, okay, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. Like, I understand the value of us being like, yeah, come, now keep on coming. We need to support you. We need to bring you into this. But also the reality is you can't expect to then not have any consequences for your actions. Like the consequences are there and people are like, well, either I have to come to terms with what you were talking about, that this is that if I keep supporting this, I'm not a bad person. But if I do live in denial, I don't have to deal with the consequences of being the bad person.
Yeah, then I'm still a good person.
Because at least I can still stay in that mind, that mindset of it. It's the same thing with that. I did finally block them. The necessary conversation, I've brought it before. I finally was like, I can't at this point. I'm just getting angry when I see, because I had hope for the mom. If any of you watched that before, I had hope. And then with, once again, surface level talk about with the Epstein stuff and her like just completely being like, nope, but it's exactly what you're talking about. She's like, no, I need there's never going to be anything at that point that's going to sway them. Like if this is the thing they're still doubling down on.
Right. The thing they wanted so bad
and
that he ran off of the idea of releasing them. And now they're like, they're not real. For me, it's very hard because there have been other situations, because people want to talk about it like it's a cult. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hear what they're saying about the cult-like mentality and the way it's structured and how it works. People want to say, like, it's like if someone was in a cult.
Mm-hmm. I've said it before.
Welcome them back. Yeah, for sure. But like when someone is in a cult,
a real
world. You welcome them back with open arms.
Right.
You don't judge them. You listen to them. You give them a hug. It's like the SNL. Did you see the SNL skit where she's this mom is admitting she's MAGA and she's like, "You better not judge me because I'll go right back to it." And she's like, "I just don't think he's good." And all the kids are like, "We know." And she's like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll just go back to MAGA." Like, it's very funny, but it is this kind of idea that we should you know, kind of be more accepting and be more open arms and less judgmental and welcome them and whatever. But here's where I'm having a hard time, and this is not going to be said perfectly, and I'm processing it as we speak. Right. But this is where I have a hard time when it comes to a cult. Oftentimes, you do think someone's doing something good. The worst behaviors are hidden at first. Mm-hmm. It does seem very loving and welcoming, and especially religious cults, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about we love each other and we're, you know, harmony and we're working together. And it's not until you really get into the underbelly of the cult that you see all the horrible shit that's going on, right?
Right.
You go in with good intention and then this is what happens. But for me, I saw what Trump was like when people joined the cult, as it was, you know. He was fucking racist from the beginning. He said racist shit from the beginning. He said anti-gay stuff from the beginning, homophobic stuff, anti-trans stuff was part of his platform. Mm-hmm. He was clearly, you know, anti-immigrant rhetoric. I mean, they're eating the dogs. We all recall that whole thing he said about Haitian people. He was sexist. Grab him by the, you know what, was before, like way before. We all knew this. His history of SA with women, like everybody knew that walking in and stayed. And that's before all the other shit he's done. So it's very hard for me because I don't see that as like blind followers. I see people who saw horrific behaviors and said, this is fine.
Right.
This because it serves me. That's what's hard for me. It's not like he's always been this guy. He's deteriorating, I think.
Yeah.
But he's always been he didn't hide anything. He was very open about how horrible he is.
Right.
So for me, it's hard for people – like for people to expect that we're going to say, oh, yeah, come on in, no problem. It's like his platform was built off of hating people.
Right. This is not – literally nothing is shocking at this point. It's like
it's in alignment.
Right. It's literally like even back when during the election when we were bringing up Project 2025,
Oh my God.
Amount of people that were in complete denial, like that's not his. He's not going to do that. He's saying the words. This is what I'm going to do. Like, no, he's just saying that to get elected. I think they were able to once again fill themselves with enough. If you want to buy into the way what you were talking about though of believing that there was only positive, they were able to convince themselves by getting into the echo chamber of other people trying to convince themselves that nothing that bad stuff he said was not actually him. Right? They were like, oh, no, he's not actually racist. He's just saying that to get a rise out of the libs, right? And this is not me defending them. Fuck all of them.
Right? But you're still voting him in.
I know.
It's also
there's no logic there.
It's all, right. Again, that's that ego, though, because it's like, you have the facts in front of you. Like, my opinions are usually, hopefully, based on facts, my experiences, what I've witnessed, tangible things, right? All these people who just think, well, I know better, and I know he's saying all these things, which he's telling them that. Like, even if he's lying, which I don't think he was, clearly he wasn't. Now we know his behaviors and what he's tried to put into law. It's like, he was harming people. Well, how do you think those people felt? Like how can you be so egotistical? Now I'm just on a rant, but to think like, well, he's saying that, but I personally, I just know that that's not true. Like, I just know he won't do that. People said that to me about his, like, being him, like, being anti-gay. They're like, nah, he's not going to touch any of that. And I'm like, yes, he will. he will try. And they were like, well, no. And it's like, what makes you have no evidence that he won't do that. So why are you so sure? That's the part I don't understand. Like, I think it's ego. I think it's like, oh, we know better. It has to be because there's nothing else. What could it be? He's never presented himself as, and like, he's maybe catered to Christianity some, but it's like, he's never embodied anything.
He embodied white supremacy and misogyny.
That's right.
Right. That's a hell of a drug, right? One of the things I always push back on, and I should push back on more, is that they're always like, well, men don't feel welcome in the Democratic Party. Men aren't, you know, there aren't blah 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 blah. Like, if you look at the stats, it was like 60-70% of men, whatever, voted for Trump. But I was like, no. You got to remember, this is where intersectionality comes into play here, though, too, because 85% of black men did not vote for Donald Trump.
That's right.
Even Latinos, like 60% of Latino men, or something like 55% of something like that, did not vote for Donald Trump. And you can go like 75% of Asian men. The numbers I don't have exactly right here. I'm just spouting off roughly. But it was the majority of it's the majority of white men that voted for it, because white supremacy white supremacy, when mixed with misogyny and internalized misogyny, right, is a hell of a drug. Right. Yeah. And that is the reality. And so I hate when people say, like, that it's like, oh, well, they have no place in our party. Well, it's like they have no place when you only focus on it from a lens of white supremacy and misogyny, of white male privilege. That's when you could be like, there's nothing in this for me. Right.
I also hate this idea. Like, I feel like we often lack, like registering personal accountability, because it's the same thing with, like, insult culture. There's so many times this happens, and a lot of time with men, that we're like trying to excuse something they're doing. It's like, well, you didn't make it easy on them. It's like, so the option was to better themselves, and they're not allowed to be openly misogynistic or racist or homophobic, or be openly misogynistic, racist, homophobic, and either, like, believe those things or be okay with those beliefs. Those are the choices. Yeah, it's fucked up that they choose to either accept it or be a part of it. Period. They act like, well, what was he supposed to do, not be racist? It's like, he was supposed to not be fucking racist.
You can't say anything nowadays without being like, I don't.
What do you want to say? What, please.
That's always my favorite callback. Is, like, whenever someone says that, it's like, what? Tell me the last thing you said that someone got upset at you about. I want to know the words you said, that because I talk for a living. I don't have any issues. I, you know, every once in a while I might say something. I'm like, oh, that's, I'm learning mm-hmm. about that. But when someone that genuinely makes a mistake and says something that, like, they use an old term or something that's outdated or something, mm-hmm. and they get corrected, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal.
Right.
In real life, you know, I saw a video where someone got, I don't give, whatever. In real life, if you're genuinely trying to be a good person, people are usually willing to accept, more often than not, are willing to accept that mistake. And as long as you're putting a good effort toward fixing that mistake, you're going to be fine.
So many of them want to say they're like anti-cancel culture or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's like, you're anti-accountability. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. You don't like that for the past decade, maybe, mm-hmm. you get pushback if you say fucked up things. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, I don't like that. If you're misogynistic to a woman, she says something back. If you're racist, people say something back to you. Like, they don't like that pushback. And they call it canceling, which are like, nobody's canceled. Like, so many people who've done atrocious things, look at our president, mm-hmm. Are still wildly successful. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's no cancellation. There's just accountability. And, like, let's be real, white men, white women haven't had to be accountable.
Right.
Haven't had to feel like bad people for being racist, for mm-hmm. being homophobic. And I think that's what's happening is, like, they want to act like, oh, it's cancel culture, it's that. It's like, you don't like pushback, you don't like feedback, mm-hmm. and you found a group that said, hey, mm-hmm. actually, we're going to be as horrible as we want to be. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing they can do about it. And you mm-hmm. went with that.
I've said before in a video that one of the reasons why red pill culture and manosphere stuff is so appealing to young men is for that exact reason. It's like, oh, sweet. I don't have to be accountable, right? This is it's an easy reason for me not to blame myself for why nobody wants to date me. Right? Mm-hmm. It's an easy reason for me to they give simple answers for it. And that's exactly what you're saying right there, though. It's like it's an easy way for them not to be accountable. It's just once, and to what other things we're saying, to bring up to deny the existence of these things, mm-hmm. because that would mean having to take accountability for the actions you've done, both now and in the past.
It's like, yeah, you can be a part of that group. Like, clearly you can because you've chosen to do so. Mm-hmm. But you can't also then have everybody else think you're a good person. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I think they want. And I think they also want to be able to, well, I'm going to choose, like, I'm going to walk away and then immediately everyone's going to say you're a good person and I'm going to be accepted. It's like, mm-hmm. no, you've taken way too many steps in the wrong direction. You don't get instant forgiveness mm-hmm. for what mm-hmm. you've done. That's not realistic. Mm-hmm. People are like, well, then they'll just stay in it. Then they're not ready to mm-hmm. leave. If any pushback makes you mm-hmm. go back to the horrible things you were doing, mm-hmm. Then you're not ready to leave the group.
Right. And it's like it's the same reason people that like, they'll get upset if you call them racist. My comments all the time, they're like, how dare you call me transphobic? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I misinterpret what you said? Do you? They're like, I'm not scared of trans people. So I'm like, that's not.
I'll fight them, and you're like,
that's
okay,
not what the word means. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's like they're more concerned, they're more offended by being called transphobic, but they have zero care about being transphobic or racist or any of those things. There is not. It's all back to what you said. It's like, I don't like that term being used to describe me. Then don't fucking embody the term.
Then don't be it.
Don't do the things. It's not that hard.
Oh, yeah, but don't call me it. You're an asshole now. Yeah, you're like, you're just as bad. I am.
You're just as bad as me.
That's my favorite one. I've had it so many times. Yeah. Well, this one incel went mm-hmm. fucking crazy in my comment section, was mm-hmm. attacking everybody. It was wild. And then at some point, I never saw it, so I think uh-huh. the person deleted it, but somebody said shut up because he claimed that they said shut up, which uh-huh. they hadn't, and then they're like, fine, shut up. Does that make you happy? And then he's like, oh, so you're just going to let somebody tell me to shut up in your comment section? Like, this is exactly who you are. And I didn't even say it. So he harassed women, got them upset, then claimed they said something they didn't. And then when they finally said it, because he provoked them, he's like, see, mm-hmm. you're just as bad.
There we go.
And I'm like, no.
Right.
It's just crazy. It'll be like people responding to hate or mm-hmm. people simply identifying hateful things.
Right.
Like, oh, that's racist. Oh, that's mm-hmm. homophobic. And then like, oh, you're just as bad. Calling me the thing I am is just as bad as me being the hateful thing.
Right. Yeah. It's absolutely upset. There was a while even where people were like, if you had a viral video, they got on the wrong side. People were getting mad about people commenting things in your comment section. And I remember someone was getting mad at me. They were like, you know, there's a lot of, like, I made like a video calling out like someone that was transphobic. It's usually that's where the biggest come out in my comment section is when I call out somebody for being transphobic, and then like it'll go viral. And I'll be like, I'm blocking as many of these people.
Right. You can't. Yeah. It gets out of hand eventually.
There's only so much I can do. They're like, well, right. why are you letting them? I'm like, well, I mean, I think my message is still important. It's clearly resonating.
Right.
It's clearly hitting the people that should be hearing it. So should I? And I've had that dilemma before. I'm like, you're right, though. Like, there's a lot of shit going on in my comment section. And like, and I have turned off the comments occasionally on stuff, but some of it's like, but there's good stuff in the comments that people need to hear, like from really smart, intelligent people.
Right.
That is also there that now nobody gets to read anymore. And so it is a weird thing where you are stuck in this weird nebulous space sometimes. You're like, I agree with you. They're terrible. I've tried my best to block them, figuring out ways around my little filters I have in my.
I think it's hard because like I feel like we're all constantly catering to like crazy people, like actually insane, like, you know, whether it's in real life, in comment sections, like everybody's trying to figure out like, how do you deal with these unhinged, like whether it's unhinged in the sense of their beliefs, whether they're severely lacking empathy. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're all trying to figure out how to deal with them. And like, it's so annoying because at some point I'm like, they have to deal with themselves. Right. Like, We have to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. And like, that's why I have a hard time right now with like, well, we should just all welcome. Like, I think we can be like, have people like be glad people are coming to the light and be happy people are no longer being hateful while still holding them somewhat accountable for the harm they've caused.
Yeah.
Like, and they've actually proven that like forgiving people, I just read a study where it's like forgiving people too early can cause problems and can actually get especially in relationships, but I think it applies here. It's like can make you like more susceptible to those unhealthy dynamics, because so often we're told to forgive before we're ready to do so,
right.
And like our brains don't register that, like it clean slates it. Like there's a part of the brain that goes, okay, we're forgiving this person, even though like maybe we've said, you know, this is a horrible telling of the study, but it's right. Like, you know, maybe we've said like a forgive and forget, or like, you know, I'm still upset, but let's move forward. Like there are so many times that our brain does not handle that process correctly. And then we forgive before we're ready. And then you get into bad relationships with people, or like you were not resolved enough in that space, but you're told, well, you have to. And, you know, I just think that's bullshit in all facets of life. Like if you're not ready to forgive someone, and like often if you press people who want you to forgive too early, they're not really sorry. Like they're not sorry they did it. They're sorry, like, that it made a problem for them. They're sorry that it led to social, you know, sanctions.
Right.
But it's like, I think we all have the right to be hurt if we're hurt. And I don't think you have to forgive someone before you're ready, whether that's, you know, a relationship, politically, whatever. I think it's okay to be hurt and to voice that because it's not, you're not in reality. There's no reality where you should just not have to be accountable. It's still a play at not being accountable for your actions. And if you are still in that mindset, then you are not ready to move on. You are still in the mindset of that cult-like, you know, ideology, which is that, well, I should just get to say what I want to say and you have to accept it. It's like, if you still think like that, you're not ready. You're still there.
No, you're going to pop back into, you're still going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because like, what happens if you're around someone else? Like, are you going to be racist to them if they call you out for it? You know what I mean? Like, you're not healed enough.
Right.
So I think this is my permission to everyone to hold where they're comfortable with. If you're ready to welcome people in and with no questions asked and just move on, like, then that's fine. But if you're not ready, like, I think you have every right to just take a pause with that, because I've seen a lot of people trying to pressure members of, especially like, you know, as a member of the gay community, I'm like, I saw the shit you said. Like, we fought over stuff. Yeah. I'm
and there's
not,
also like, there's always like a time and place for it too. Like sure. I think now is the time to like you know to be open. Like if it's a week before the election, I'm probably not going to be making. If fucking Gavin Newsom or somebody is our like I do not want that. But if he's our person and it's a week before the election, I'm not going to be making my videos talking about all my issues I have with Gavin.
Right.
That I can understand the big picture and sure. those sort of things. But it doesn't mean I'm also probably not going to be making videos talking about how great he is. Right. You can handle it in ways that are. And the same thing goes for those people. You don't have to embrace those people, right? You don't have to be around them. I can appreciate someone finally coming to see how terrible they were at some point without ever that, but I'm not going to make a, you know, go around and be friends with them now because they're probably a really shitty person if they were able to go that long, you know, before doing it. And so you don't have to, it's all about, like you said, where you're at as a person.
I also think, like, to me, it's not real empathy. It's the same thing as, like, when men will be like, oh, now I have a daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a wife.
That's
or my
not
mom.
The reason why you should now it's all
like,
of a sudden.
Now I don't care if sexual assault. Yeah. Now I care about sexual assault. It's like, that's because you've related it to yourself. Right. It's about you at that point. And so, like, if you only see the light now because you're a white person and you're seeing white people die and white people be harmed, that's hard for me. Because, again, that's not empathy. That's just like, oh, I can see myself now. Right. Oh, no. It's like, it's been a long road. Yeah. So, I have reservations. I'm glad you're no longer being horrible, but I certainly have reservations.
And if you really are going to finally, you saw the light and you really are coming across, it's not going to be someone being mean to you that then decides, you know what? I am going to go support the pedophile. You know, that's not going to be the thing that is like, oh, well, the Klan really was nice to me at that, at the tea party they held versus the protest. Somebody was like mean to me because I was wearing an American flag shirt. And so I don't know. How do you just like it's, just, it's so I do think it's dumb to pretend like also like it's that simple. And if somebody is that simple, they're not going to be like. In the movement, right? They're probably going to be someone that doesn't end up voting or you know.
Right. They'll swing back at some point.
So.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Well, that's it. We went all over the place with this show again.
Where are we?
I don't know. I think we thematically, there was somewhat interconnection going on.
I can always tell when we're trying to find a through line.
There's something
like,
there. I think there was.
Something's there.
It wasn't as bad as when I was talking about Fierro for 20 minutes.
I can't believe you didn't even get through your introduction without a tangent. A medical tangent about grinding your teeth. I'm like, your swollen tongue. Well, thanks to everyone who's listened this week. As you know, we have the Patreon. Actually, it's a fun Patreon this week because I was surprised with our theme song, and I'm sure my face was very surprised.
It's pretty great.
So check that out. Check out our socials, and we will see you next week.
Love you.
Bye.